Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, he's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Seems like 5 seconds ago it was Friday. Well, here we are again, and it's a special Friday. Friday the 13th. When we come back from break, I will briefly go over the history of Friday the 13th and why it is seen, not just here in the United States, but all over the world, as an unlucky day. But why is the number 13 seen as unlucky? Our country had 13 colonies, 13 stars and stripes. I don't know, but certainly it is a... Even if you say you're not superstitious... It almost feels unlucky, though, to not be a little superstitious. And maybe other people are superstitious at a subconscious level, and then they do reckless things on Friday the 13th because it's almost a self-fulfilling prophecy at a subconscious level. They expect something bad to happen. Like, I don't call myself superstitious, but I don't want to walk under a ladder, maybe because a ladder might fall on you. Or who wants to break a mirror? I mean, that's who wants to break something? I think it's unlucky. Break a mirror, not because it's unlucky, but because it's unlucky. A lot of people say they're not superstitious, but they are. I'm already digressing off into superstition, which really doesn't matter here, ladies and gentlemen. But we will briefly talk about the history of Friday the 13th when we come back in the next segment. Larry Grathwall, I'm turning into Donald Rumsfeld with these bizarre riddles I put out that don't even make sense to me. Larry Grathwall, who was inside the Weatherman terrorist and one of the key witnesses that helped send them to the Huskow. Remember that clip we played where they talk about it, putting 50 million of us in re-education camps and killing 25 mil of us? He is going to be joining us today. Certainly look forward to that happening. And we're going to be breaking it all down. The truth about the weather underground today, much of them in and around the White House in 2012. So he is our one guest here on this Friday. And I will endeavor to open the phones up for him and then have open phones. Really a kind of Ask Alex. We've been doing an Ask Alex over at planetinfowars.com, the social network we've set up for InfoWarriors so they can get organized and get together. It's in beta. Had a few glitches the first month or so, but it's running like a champ right now. So I would invite you over to set up your own profile and get to know people. But the point is we started a Ask Alex thing a couple days a week that we play on the nightly news that people really like. So I thought, why not have Ask Alex, where I specifically say, your questions right now. So you just have a quick question, I hang up on you, and then I try to be not long-winded. Maybe that can break the cycle of, I've been doing overall better lately taking calls, but again, nobody's telling me take more calls. I like to take calls. I like the different directions, wild card it takes us in, but then I tend to get stuck on all the news and never get to it all. Speaking of news, it is going to be a absolutely jam-packed transmission today. Hey, you've heard of drones in the sky, drones on the ground. How about drones on top of the water and under the sea? I told you, the entire military is going to robots. This is really robots because they've already got autonomous drones in the sea, in space, in the air, on the ground. All the stuff you've seen is 20 to 30 years old, some of it older. It's all ancient. My grandfather in the late 60s went out and even got the patent and stuff with some other inventors. He was kind of an eccentric type, my mom's dad, and created an anti-riot robot. It was just remote control and basically had these big, long arms on it that were had voltage coming out of them. And the Pentagon bought it, but never mass manufactured it. At least that's what my grandfather was told, but it paid for the investment and the research. This is what they've been obsessed with forever, is getting rid of humans in the equation so the globalists can technocratically give orders. So we're going to talk about that, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. Mitt Romney wants Condi, and hey, she likes abortion, so she'll probably be in there. Nothing more conservative than abortion, carbon taxes, and government health care. I'm a liberal because I'm against it. We'll be right back.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
It is Friday, the 13th, 2012. And we're going to be here for the next 3 hours. Thank you so much for joining us. We have a guest coming up in the next hour who was inside the Weather Underground and helped put those folks in prison. They're now basically got their red diaper doper baby in the White House, Hair Obama, and we're seeing all the tyranny that comes with that. Again, megabanks funding communists. That's the way it always works. To take over, wreck a country, then the bankers come in later through their oligarchs and take control and call it free market. Saw a big study out today, it's in my stack, that all over the world, people are down on capitalism because the monopoly, crony, anti-free market media blames what's happening on free market and capitalism, not on what it really is, organized crime government. Corporate fascism is a closer, more accurate term for what it is, a global kleptocratic thieving group that gets control of governments and exempts themselves from the avalanches of laws they pile on us, red tape and bureaucracy. Now, it is Friday the 13th, and my son asked me this morning, why is Friday the 13th seen as unlucky? So I thought I would dig up the history of that for my son who's listening, and obviously any new listeners who don't know why Friday the 13th is seen as unlucky. The Knights Templar curse and Friday the 13th, and you can just type in the origins of Friday the 13th. It's out there. The Knights Templar have always been surrounded by mystery, and the only facts that we can gather about them were that they were Christian knights who escorted pilgrims to the Holy Land and fought in the Crusades, yeah, and became fabulously wealthy. It has been believed that the day the Pope and the King, this is in France and Spain both, ordered them to be arrested on October 13th, 1307, a Friday, Friday the 13th, after their arrest, they were all brutally tortured, you had to find out where all the treasure was, and forced to confess to such sins as spitting on the cross, because everybody wants to do that in their extra time, worshiping false gods, worshiping the devil, homosexuality, and sodomy, considering they were being tortured, and they most likely just stated anything in order to get out of the torture. Well, no. Jack Bauer tortures people to keep them safe. I mean, torture's what the good guys do. Being sarcastic here. But yes, that's the main reason 13 as seen as unlucky. And a lot of Asian cultures predating this, they thought it was unlucky. 8 is seen as lucky. Multiple 8s, really lucky. 7 is seen as lucky in the West. So for whatever reason, 13 seen as unlucky. But the United States, 13 colonies, 13 stars and stripes, 13 stars. It's whatever you make of it. But perhaps people expect bad things to happen on Friday the 13th, so they do. It's kind of like if you walk into a restaurant, you're rude to everybody, have a bad attitude, people aren't going to like you. I found that if you're in a good mood and happy, you generally are going to get that back. I don't know. I mean, I'll never forget walking into convenience stores and stuff, you know, getting gas, asking my dad if I could have a candy bar or whatever, and seeing people smile at him and everything. And I said, Dad, people frown at me and stuff. I was going to like a stage at like 10 or 11 of frowning. And he said, well, that's because you're frowning. I'm smiling. And I mean, it's just a simple thing, but so many of us forget that. That's why politicians walk around with those fake shark smiles all the time, like they're a clown or something. But with my dad, he was actually a happy guy. Okay, enough on that subject. Let us now plunge directly into the headlines. You know what? I'm going to do it today. I'm just going to read the headlines. I've never succeeded, but today will be the day where I just read headlines, and then I'm going to go back into it more than your phone calls. Let's just give you the headlines. Navy beginning to implement underwater drones in the Gulf. Hold your breath, drone lovers, literally. Robot submarines. Okay. Here's another one. Washington Times. We told you about this years ago. Now it's admitted. DHS emergency power extended. Every week it's a new extension, including control of private telecom systems. They've been in control since the Telecommunications Act, but now it's down to ISPs with 100 or more customers. Wow, talk about takeover, just spy grids, takeover grids, Walmart telescreens. Oh, I'm not just reading the headlines, am I? Trying to give you more data. Woman convicted of battery for pat-down of TSA worker. She's a former worker who got another job. They groped her genitals. It's all on video. We have it at InfoWars.com. So she groped the supervisor back, and the jury just could not wait to send somebody to prison. Because, again, they like the judge smiling at them. That's satisfaction. I mean, even if they're stomping your baby's brains out in the future, as long as the man in black uniform smiles at you, like you'll kind of hold your hand and nod your head as you run into the mass grave to be shot. You know, we've all seen that film footage in Russia and Germany where people would politely nod and just to get a little nod from the soldier before they, because that's what really mattered, was like, having your hat in your hand and just bowing to the officer. I mean, that's what it's all about. And they said, the court ruled, we will grab your genitals, you will not touch ours. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not just going over the headlines. That article is up at InfoWars.com. Woman convicted of battery for pat-down of TSA worker. Action was protest against invasive groping, which included touching the woman's genitals. Hey, Jerry Sandusky takes kids in the showers. TSA takes them in the rape room and rapes them with their hands. I mean, that's land of the pedophile, home of the slave. I mean, come on. Exclusive. DOD report reveals some detainees interrogated while drugged, others chemically restrained. Well, yeah, that's what we do to our kids in public schools. Why not do it to some Iraqi children? I mean, you don't do it to Al-Qaeda. They work for you. The Pentagon wants awards for bravery for drone pilots who kill people remotely. Well, of course that's heroic. Nothing more heroic. But again, they're not even going to have humans flying them soon. They've already got them out, autonomous kill drones. And they admit the drones are learning from the humans. They have computers learning what humans do. And then you just turn the drones loose. You type it in, autonomous drones now in the skies. See, it's all about a future without humans. That's what the globalists call it. The future doesn't need us. Why the future doesn't need us? Just search those terms and learn. That's why you've all been implanted with nanotech cancer viruses. They just call them cancer viruses, but they've been engineered. They're nanotech. All these new vaccines that attack your brain and eat the areas that absorb alcohol or opiates, which actually absorb your regular endorphins. I mean, I jogged this morning, drove to the lake, got in the lake, only swam a mile and a half because I didn't have a lot of time, got out. It was exhausting, and I feel energized. I've got natural drugs pumping right now into my brain cells. They're all mine. But that's evil. It's evil. I need a vaccine. I feel full of energy. I feel full of rage and passion and love of life. Oh, that scares the globalist because they want a bunch of automatons. And that's what it is. It's kingdom of the robots. I'm going to break that down after our guest in the next hour leaves us. In fact, guys, you were ordered literally to get in my face and say, cover kingdom of the robots, Jones. All right? I need to be slapped upside the head. That's a directive to make me do it. All right, continuing here, ladies and gentlemen. I got through one small stack of about 30. Let's continue here. Oh, what should I get to next? I've got the economic news. I've got all the other police state news. I've got the Sandusky news. Let's do the... Oh, yeah, that little kingdom of pedophiles. They are, boy, the FBI didn't know how to handle this because that's one of their little pedophile command bases there at Penn State. They're in a pedophile valley. What are they going to do? Oh, all the famous people going in there. You know, Sandusky's so confident he was raping kids in the shower at high noon. And it's all confirmed. Of course they all knew. Of course, folks, they didn't just know. I can look at those Penn State officials and tell you they're pedophiles. I mean, my God, just look at Sandusky. Looks like a demonic ferret needs to be put into a meat grinder head first. I mean, that's what a pedophile looks like right there. A buck-toothed demonic rat of some type begging to be fed into a meat grinder head first, and that's where he's going. Oh, yeah, check out the ear hair. I mean, that's like a feeler in the dark, so he can, like a rat, you know, scurry around when he's in hell. All right, anyways, excuse me. Get Sandusky off the screen. I'm about to throw up. You know what? Since we brought that up, I'll just get to it right now. Again, every demonic culture that's been taken over by these people engages in human sacrifice. And they always demand the kids. So if they can't get away with killing kids, it's not just about raping them. They want to psychically hurt them as bad as they can and ruin them. So it's a psychic sacrifice. Every culture, research the anthropology and the archaeology, every culture has these people take over, black, white, Asian, you name it. Every culture develops guilds that demand they drop by your house or you bring your child to them. Most people are so brainwashed they would be proud to have their two-year-old son or daughter have their heart cut out while high priests gobble their intestines in front of everyone and splatter their guts all over the ground and read the tea leaves out of their intestines. I mean, this is what it's all about. This is what the Illuminati are all about throughout history. So instead, because they can't just kill them outright, they want to soft kill them with vaccines, GMOs. You know, that's another way they still get their sacrifice. But again, these entities that are in them, whatever you want to call it, the malfunction, if you just want to look at it from a biological perspective of these cancerous humans, is that they demand children, normally the firstborn, because for whatever reason that was seen as the most valuable. Those were going to be leaders in the future. Almost all the astronauts, almost all your top scientists are firstborn for whatever reason. They're around adults. They grow up. As adults, they grow up with more advanced intelligence, IQ, not knocking folks that aren't firstborn. It's just a fact. You know, there are some anomalies that are different. They want to take your firstborn and torture them. They like to, well, most cultures would like to throw small children on like a big open metal oven. The flapping around and screaming anyways, the point is, and these devil pits are everywhere. And most of your big universities, most of your big now international law enforcement, national law enforcement, are armies of child killing, child raping, demonic slugs. We'll be right back.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
I am going to continue with the news headlines and brief sardonic analysis, and then we're going to open the phones up right now. I'm going to give the numbers out, and then we'll take your calls coming up in the next segment on Ask Alex. If you have a question on any topic or issue, I will do my best to answer it. The toll-free number to join us, and I want to give first-time callers a chance to get involved again, because there's so many millions of people that never got through, 800-259-9231. 800-259-9231. And I apologize. Sometimes I get, you know, a whole bunch of phone calls on the line and don't get to everybody, but we run out of time here and try to give callers a lot of time. And then I go on for a long time and you know the drill, but 800-259-9231 is the toll-free number to join us. Getting back to Sandusky, I'm not joking about burning children in fiery pits. Every major culture did it. The Druids all over Northern and Western Europe into Albion. They engaged in it everywhere. All over the Middle East, all over Central Asia, all over the Far East. Every culture they dig into, they would have big idols with basically either a fire in front of them or a big sheet of metal heated up. If you're a new listener, I wasn't joking earlier when I talked about that. Look it up. They would throw children onto it. I guess just for added screaming and pain and power trips. You know, for you or I, that would be like ripping our guts out. We would rather die than see something like that. I mean, I almost go to my knees in just reverent love of God to see a beautiful sunset or sunrise or an innocent child catch a little perch fish and smile and have creativity and innocence in their eyes. And I want to kill people that want to hurt children. My instinct is, you know, they like to hurt children. Well, I like to, you know, basically bash the brains out of people that want to hurt children. And I'm not a violent person, but I have extreme feelings of violence towards people like that. I have a serious desire to gouge their eyes out, to tear their heads off. I get so mad that I guarantee you I could physically tear somebody's head off. I guarantee I could break their neck in about 1 second. And if you don't have that feeling towards these perverts and towards these criminals, then you've got something wrong with you. Okay? It's not macho or tough that I have serious feelings of violence towards people that hurt children. And I don't mean disciplining your child when they try to stick their finger in a light socket. That is good to do. I'm talking people who want to hurt children and who want to abuse them and dominate them and lock them up, like the cases in France and other areas of Europe where they caught pedophiles with little kids in dungeons, starving them to death, and these elitists would come and do horrible things to them. This is going on. And you look at, I've seen the comments on the website and seen emails coming in going, why isn't Alex talking about Sandusky since he got convicted and since this all came out? And hey, you were right. And hey, you know, it goes to the top. Of course it went to the top. And I haven't covered it a lot because it gets me upset, okay? It gets me very, very upset. And then I'm likely to blow up at people around me. So I tend to try to just be dark and sarcastic. But it's not because I think it's funny. It's because it makes me want to attack people, okay? I mean, it's just that simple. I mean, I cannot look at Sandusky without going into a controlled rage. And, of course, it's now come out that the entire hierarchy was knowingly covering things up, which makes them accessory of the crimes. And all of them need to be arrested. Everybody's like, oh, the coach is good. Don't say he knows and all this. You know, 6 months ago when all this started, I got a lot of heat for saying, of course they knew. And of course it goes higher than that. You look at that charity and the whole way it's set up, how it's designed for disadvantaged kids that have already had problems. That way nobody will believe them when they get abused. The whole way it's set up, it's so dark, ladies and gentlemen. I've talked to Hollywood people. And I know there's some books coming out on it soon about what goes on in Hollywood. And again, it's not even the actors and people. They're just the minions. But the producers and the higher-ups, it's just a kingdom of evil. And the Disney stars and all that. I remember 15 years ago hearing they were MK Ultra and part of these projects. And then to later find out that from people in Hollywood that they really are, that there really is mind control programs and that it really is Operation Monarch. And then Katy Perry comes out with her new video and it's Operation Monarch programming. I mean, it's just we're living in a total crazy land, is what I'm telling you. But if you look at history, it's what happens over and over again. So I look at Sandusky and all this stuff. I mean, I need to get off this subject because it really, I need to have a lot of energy today. I have a lot of stuff I need to cover and do. And if I get into a rage, I'm not going to have any energy. I'm going to hit some more news briefly, just some headlines, and then go to your calls. Ask Alex. That's me, 800-259-9231. You can send your questions, too, to planetinfowars.com in the Ask Alex section there.
You are listening to an Infowars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
We have to decide as a civilization that we don't want to be deindustrialized and have all of our functions replaced by autonomous pre-programmed robots controlled by the globalists. And in all their white papers, that's all they've talked about for 50 years, how they were going to get to this point. That's how I know every new step of their program. The entire underwater fleet, the entire surface fleet, the entire aircraft fleet, the entire ground force fleet will be robot. They've got different numbers of 2020, 2025, by 2015, you know, the vast majority of the Air Force and Army's aircraft will be autonomous, not just drone with some guy that was playing video games that were really a primer. You know, they have movies like The Last Starfighter. That's a good kids movie. I remember seeing it back when I was a kid, and I bought it, and my son and I watched it. I think it's a little too old for my oldest daughter, but we watched The Last Starfighter last year, and the kid goes and plays the video game in his trailer park, and when no one's ever won the game, and when he wins the game, a spaceship lands with a humanoid and says, all right, you're being recruited to join, you know, this fleet because of the skills you have. And then he's taken off world to go be the last starfighter because before they get back to the base, it gets blown up. The point is that isn't life imitating art today, that's actually how these Connect and video games work, is that most of the people now joining the Air Force and other systems are video game heads and were actually playing on similar simulators for a decade and are now flying real drones, real Reapers, and bombing people and getting medals for it. Because the Pentagon developed video games before Pong and before all the first games in the 70s. They developed them for instinctive shooting and to train people to pull triggers, just as pop-up targets do, so that people wouldn't hesitate when they were confronted with another human at close range and would kill them. To where they've got, where troops kill people at rates of 95, 96, 97% up close and don't think a thing about it. Blow up a car full of men, women, children, won't even feel bad about it when a kid's crawling along with their guts coming out, you know, blown in half, because they've simulated the killing so many times with the video games that now it doesn't matter. This was all admittedly scientifically done to dehumanize us so that now as we're killed and as this is all turned against us, people can't differentiate because they've seen thousands of simulated murders on TV, hundreds of thousands on video games, where it's always zombies and monsters, but the humanoid shape, to where now humans see themselves as garbage. And now people are going crazy thinking they're zombies. And trying to eat people's faces off, showing the power of television to condition people. I mean, I saw studies about in the 50s and 60s, if they police noticed very quickly that if they had a big top TV show come out and have somebody jump off the Empire State's building or another big building on the TV show, that suddenly scores of people would show up that day or that night and would go and try to jump off the Empire State Building just because they saw it on television. Or if it was on the news that somebody did jump off a building, suddenly they'd have to station police there because people were there to jump off the building. This is the suggestibility of the population. And we've gotten more and more suggestible, just like when we're in a hypnotic state and you can have a magician, you know, get you to trick your mind into doing what they say and believing a potato is an apple. Or walking off the stage and falling on a mattress. And the people really are doing it because they're under mind control. And that's what the television, this whole culture is. That's why people can't wake up as the government goes, yeah, we're spying on you. Yeah, we're torturing and killing people. Yeah, we'll kill you. Yeah, we're putting cancer viruses in your shots. Hey, you know what? We did lie. That H1N1 does kill you. That vaccine does eat your brain. Don't worry, we're going to give you a shot soon where even those of you that resist us and are resistant to all the programming and chemicals, it's not going to matter. The virus is going to go in and attack your brain and destroy your key centers of resistance. You're going to not be upset anymore. Just like a body snatcher movie. Just go to sleep. When you wake up, it'll all be all right. Or just take this shot. There's not going to be any more getting upset anymore. You're upset about all this stuff happening? You're not going to be upset anymore. Join us. Join us. Join us. This is how heavy reality is. We're going to see things that blow your mind, that blow my mind. End of the world? It isn't 2012, folks. That's just getting you conditioned. See, they have the Christians all taught to lay down that it's the end of the world. Not a teaching that was in the Bible. A pre-tribulation until the last 170 years or so. So everybody goes, oh, praise God they want us to take chips. That means the end of the world's here. I'll be teleported out. Oh, yeah. Like all the Christians in the Bible that were teleported out? No, they had to face it before God delivered them, and only sometimes if that was part of God's plan. And you know in your gut you're not going to escape any of this. All of you cowards out there, who think you're going to escape the New World Order, you're not going to escape jack squat. You understand that? You're going to face reality. That's history. That's common sense. That's God's universal law. And you better get used to it and better get ready for it. Of course, you'll line up and take the shot, won't you? Because you are going to want your free will taken. The mark is a genetic engineering weapon program where you willingly are told you're giving up your free will and join the matrix with a viral nanotech injection. I've known this for a long time, but it's totally clear now. That's what it is. But they're not the soft kill they try to do without you knowing, but there's some universal metaphysical law that when they really get ready to take your free will, you're going to have to give it up and decide to be a biological android. And that's the real mark of the beast. And that's why you can't repent and God can't take you back, because it literally is going to wipe your brain. Now, the spirit will still be there, but you're damned. You're cut off. Wow. I didn't mean to start preaching. I said I'd go to your calls, and got a lot of other news here. But the Sandusky thing, in closing, shows you how a whole institution with hundreds of people at the top could know that there was a whole pedophile charity going at one of the most prestigious universities in the country, churning out all the big pharma heads. You notice how all the Homeland Security heads and big pharma heads and FBI directors, it's all coming out of this school. Coming out of Harvard, coming out of Yale, coming out of the University of Texas, coming out of Berkeley. Wherever you've got the cream coming out, you better believe it isn't the cream. It's the pus of the pus, the demon of the demon, the rotten of the rotten. And then all these other people who knew what was going on and weren't into hurting kids, but they still became accomplices because they couldn't bring down the system. And the news is like, oh, too bad for Penn State. It's really hurting them and hurting enrollment. Oh, too bad. It's not about all the kids. It's not about people getting threatened and mysterious deaths of investigators. Oh, yeah, people were killed over this. It's not about that. No, it's about the stinking university and people that are alumni now that feel embarrassed that they're alumni of Penn State. You see, it's that spirit that allows this type of stuff to go on. I mean, if I was an assistant football coach and I walked into the showers and somebody had a little kid bent over, let me tell you something. The police aren't going to get called. And it's not because I'm macho or tough. I am going to stomp. I probably would have killed Jerry Sandusky. And folks, I'm not bragging, but I mean, you know, I'm just a regular man. I see something like that, I'm going to do something. That didn't talk, folks. I've put probably 20 people in the hospital. People that started fights with me. You start a fight with me, you're going to get a fight right back, 110%. And that doesn't mean people didn't start fights with me that whooped my butt. Doesn't mean I hadn't had broken legs and concussions and, you know, loose teeth and lips split and black eyes. I'm not here saying I'm the baddest guy on the block. I'll tell you right now, there are people out there that are animals. That'll have your head bouncing off the concrete so fast you don't know how they're doing it. They can do backflips down the street. But I'll tell you right now, if I saw somebody doing something like that, I wouldn't be able to control myself. I'd come in there and he'd turn around. I'd knock his nose right up into his brain. I'd slam him right in the eye. I'd grab him and start just slamming his head in there. And you know what? If I went to jail, that's just the way it is. It's a crime of passion. That's the type of attitude you have to have for these scum. Instead, the assistant coach comes in and goes and tells people, they're like, you better shut up about this, because they're a bunch of predators, ladies and gentlemen. That's what they are. Or I'm going to shut up right there. I don't want to sit here and try to sound like Mr. Tough Guy. I start beating my chest like a gorilla as soon as I start thinking about the scum out there, because I have children and they make me so angry. At an instinctive level, all I think is kill, 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 kill. You notice the system always tells those of us that aren't sickos that we need to sit down, shut up, and be passive so they can run around having their way with us. I'm tired of it. We've gotten to this point because we've let evil run wild and tell us to sit down and shut up. I've got all this other news on Condi Rice, the abortionist, the abortion supporter at the top of the list for Mitt Romney. And I've got all the clips of him saying how much he loves abortion. I mean, it's such a... And then Obama is saying Romney... Obama has his surrogate saying Obamany... Obamany, I said a Freudian slip. Obama is saying that Romney, his vice president, basically, if something happens with Obama, then there's the backup. I mean, literally, Mitt Romney is like his real vice president. That's how the New World Order works. He's just the guy in waiting right there. I had that epiphany last night that Mitt Romney is the real vice president, because they have to have two guys in an election in case something happens with Obama or some scandal they can't control. And Mitt Romney, I'll guarantee you, in their councils, and you know they're meeting privately, he is the vice president. Mitt Romney is the vice president during the election right now. So Vice President Romney, globalist elected, he's going, hey, this is over the top, saying I'm a criminal, saying I wasn't involved in Bain decisions once I left to run the Olympics in Salt Lake City in 99. You know, that's not right to say I'm a criminal and a felon that I made these decisions and I lied about it to the SEC and others. And he's like, hey, be nice, because he won't even talk about Fast and Furious. He won't go after Obama on anything. And so he's saying, hey, you tell your surrogates, get off the vice president. I'm the vice president, Obama. You don't talk bad about your vice president, Obama. And then Condi Rice, it's so sick. I mean, this is a woman who Mayor Willie Brown called her and said, don't get on a plane to New York tomorrow morning. That's in the San Francisco Chronicle. She called him and said, don't fly, excuse me. Let's just go to your calls. I'm going to shut up now. Thomas in Mass, you're on the air. Welcome.
Yeah, Alex, I'm going to try and be quick because I know you're trying to rifle through them. What happens when the collapse happens, either hyperinflationary or deflationary depression, what happens to those of us who have outstanding mortgages or loans? Do you pay it off in inflated dollars? What if you can't pay it off? And what implications does that have for those of us who are preparing to bug in? And I'll take my answer up the air.
Wow, that's an incredibly important question. Crystallize that. I mean, you're saying what happens when the collapse takes place? I mean, what do you... He's gone? What happens to people that decide to stay in their houses? The globalists won't go ahead with a total collapse unless they think we'll put up with it. And then they will. They could stage race riots. They could stage a nuke going off. And they've got a lot of nasty cards in their hand. And you ask the question, and we've had all these experts on, like James Wesley Rawls and so many others. You know, what happens to you? What happens when the collapse takes place? It's happening slowly. As cities go bankrupt all over the country, as police get cut. One good thing is there's so many guns in the country, that's going to keep criminals from going too wild. You'll just see lots of reports of criminals getting shot, breaking in houses. That's now increasing right now. Now, I think because we've been here and others have been out there warning people ahead of time that's a whole area of discussion. I was just thinking this morning we need to get more guests on to focus for whole shows just on what a collapse will look like, the different types of collapses and how to deal with it. It's too big a question to answer in a short space. Ken in Michigan. Ken, you're on the air.
What do you say, Alex? Thanks for doing a great job. Alex, my question is to you. I'm a 68-year-old male. I come out of the MKUltra program, and there's targeted individuals that they're using microwaves on us all over the United States, thousands of us. What do you think of that?
Well, you know, there's people that are mentally ill from the heavy metals and things. Most schizophrenia out there, they've found in major studies, is chemically based. Or you've got, not you, but people that have schizophrenia have Lyme's disease, and which is really just a weaponized tick-borne syphilis that gets into the brain, and then no one will treat you or tell you. They'll just say, oh, you're mentally ill. So there's a lot of mentally ill people out there, but there are real MKUltra mind control programs. They even have shows on History Channel about that, where thousands of kids were running through Dr. Ewing Cameron's system. There was sexual abuse as well. And they would publicly, have admitted that they would basically erase their memories and create automatons. So I know that that's out there, sir. And I'm sorry that you've been going through that. Thank you for the call. They just gave us an article here. Hundreds of innocent people wrongly spied on by police. It wasn't wrongly spied on. They just do it. Let's go ahead and take another call. Fred in Canada, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hey, buddy.
Alex. Hey, how are you doing?
Good.
I want to let you know we got a lot of Jonesers up here, Canada. And I was just getting a little creeped out here because, you know, there's no mention of Canada or anything like that and all this. I can't help but feel like Austria in World War II, you know. We've got a good prime minister here, I know, because I live in his riding. And he scrapped the gun registration. There was a gun registration. He got rid of it, so...
Yes, things have begun to reverse in Canada because the public has awoken to what's happening. And wherever good people take action, evil runs. But Canada basically is more and more under the SPP and also the Asia-Pacific Union. And so you're being integrated into a corporatist government. Your sovereignty is being eroded. But your sovereignty is already eroded because the Queen and her director general is able to suspend your parliament whenever they don't do what they want. So you've got the Queen eroding your sovereignty, but Canada does have more sovereignty than it did in the past. And then you've also got NORTHCOM trying to absorb your sovereignty. So that's basically what's happening with Canada. We talk quite a bit about Canada, but I mean, basically, you're going under the same standardized global government. Whatever's happening in Australia is happening here. Whatever's happening in Canada is happening in England, Germany. I mean, it's a global standardized program. Different countries are further along at different levels. You see what I'm saying?
I hear you. Yeah.
All right. Thank you, sir. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it sure does. Thank you.
Thank you. Patrick, Elaine, Scott, Cindy, your calls are up next. To Obama. So what if the NFL doesn't want him doing their theme song? There's going to be no country left if we don't stand up against this corrupt system and call it out, period.
He always wore his Sunday feathers and carried this old Black Hawk.
We're going to go back to your calls here in just a moment, and we have a special guest coming up at the start of the next hour, and we will continue also into the third hour with your Ask Alex questions. I think we're getting some good questions. One of the best sellers in the store is something that multiple experts separately told me was one of the best single supplements out there for detoxing, protecting your glands, your thyroid, making your skin healthier, your hair grow faster. Weldon Henson, I got to get him in there to talk about this. He started taking it and his hair started growing faster and spots where his hair was getting a little thin started coming in and his nails started growing faster. And I've been taking it, and it is amazing. Modafinil, discounted with a free citizen rulebook available at InfoWarsShop.com. It's pure brown seaweed extract. They get it off the coast of New Zealand, so nowhere near the radiation like a lot of other brands. It's available right now at InfoWarsShop.com. We also have The Greater Good, exposing the deadly vaccines. Very professional film. And Joel Gilbert's Dreams of My Real Father, about the true roots of Obama. An incredible film, InfoWarsShop.com. And remember your purchases at the site. We also have the In the TSA shirt. The next time I fly, I'm going to videotape me wearing it and going through, and I hope they say something to me. In the TSA, available at InfoWarsShop.com. We have the best water filters out there with a 10% discount on all the water filter products with the promo code WATER at InfoWarsShop.com. We have the Life Straw, the best in the field system, the Pro Pure. It's all available at InfoWarsShop.com. Okay, let's go to your phone calls. Patrick in Oregon, thanks for holding her on the air, sir.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, brother.
Good to hear from you.
Go ahead.
Hey, my question is, what I don't really understand is, I mean, I'm fully awake to what's been going on in the world for a long time. I've been listening to you for about 5 years. But I don't get why the Congress, senators, congressmen, governors in this country, where's all the good white hat guys, and why aren't more of them standing up?
Okay, well, first off, have you ever been around the Capitol or around those restaurants at night? I mean, we're talking about supermodel prostitutes everywhere that these guys are having sex with 24/7. And they're all photographed. They go to poker games where there's free prostitutes. That's come out where the top Pentagon brass are. I mean, you know, the Watergate's just full of poker and gambling on one floor and supermodels on the next, all paid for by defense contractors. That came out with, you know, Porter Goss and all the rest of it. That's just one level. They're allowed to insider trade. They're allowed to get all the no-bid contracts. They're just up there stealing us blind. They're a bunch of crooks. And those that aren't crooks are isolated and get slowly turned to the dark side. So that's what's going on up there. I mean, you ought to go hang out in D.C. You'll be sitting there in a restaurant and the most beautiful women you've ever seen, and you'll see limousines pull up with old men in the back, lobbyists and politicians, and you'll see somebody's 22-year-old beauty queen daughter get in the back of the vehicle with them. That's what's going on, buddy. That's what's going on. Our stolen money bought them.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
My friends, we have a guest joining us for the first time ever in the next segment, Larry Grathwohl, Inside the Weatherman. Incredible information coming up with Larry Grathwohl here in just a moment. But right now, let's continue with Ask Alex on this Friday. Your questions for yours truly. Let's go ahead and talk to Cindy in Illinois. Cindy, you're on the air.
Hey, that's me.
Welcome.
I have a question. A previous caller kind of asked the same question, but I'm going to word it a little bit differently. How is the system going to use our debt against us? Because the majority of Americans are in debt, either credit card debt, student loan debt, mortgage debt. So how are they going to use that against us?
They are changing all the different laws where the way they throw you in debtor's prison is claim you didn't turn in a silver spoon your grandma gave you when you declare bankruptcy, and they throw you in prison for it. They've changed the bankruptcy laws to where they're total fraud now, and bankruptcy is biblical, Jubilee, but they've just gotten rid of that. You've got countries in Africa that had a $1 billion loan. They've paid back, you know, $60 billion and still own $100 billion in interest. I mean, it's all fraud. They've got the Department of Education SWAT teaming people, and they don't even have any statutory power. It's not illegal to not pay back a student loan, but they still SWAT team you. I mean, that's mainstream news. Look it up, folks. So it's just total lawlessness where they want to bankrupt everybody and then make you agree to terms to go under government receivership, basically onto government debt forgiveness, where the government pays back your debt with other people's money and with inflation. And then you agree to take vaccines, to live in a smaller house, to do what they say. So it's a managed economy they're moving us to.
I see. I'm a normal 27-year-old. I have a lot of student loan debt that I'm working to pay down. So I was just, you know, that's just one of my worries.
Well, look, they're not going to be able to enforce this on everybody. And remember, if you borrow something from your neighbor, that hurts them if you don't pay it back. These mega banks have gotten over 30 plus trillion now. The numbers don't really come out in the last few years. It was 27 trillion, and I saw Bloomberg saying over 40 trillion. But they've gotten trillions of your tax money, which they then loan out to everybody in interest. And so, I mean, when I was in college and had no money and lived in a tiny one-room apartment, they would send me 2-3 credit cards a week in my mailbox. And then once I establish myself, they don't ever send me credit cards. They don't send credit cards to people that aren't in debt. They want you in debt for life. It is predatory loan sharking at illegal loan sharking rates. And it's all a fraud. So, you know, there's some schools of thought, and I'm not saying do this, but run up debt with Bank of America, Chase, all of them, do whatever you want and never pay any of it back. Because it's all made up anyways. And I'm not saying do that, but I mean, that's what a lot of people are doing. That's what rich people do. Did you know that most rich people, I mean, so-called nouveau riche, they know how to declare bankruptcy, not pay things, all this stuff. And then they throw the book at little people. Most of the tax collectors go after folks making less than $30,000 a year. I mean, it's all just geared so the government class and the rich class can rip everybody off. But then they sell you the solution of higher taxes to get the rich, eat the rich. The problem is those are just going to be taxes on the working wealthy and the working middle class to give it to them in bailouts. You see how that's more sophisticated, but it's not a nice soundbite for CNN for class warfare?
Right. All right. Well, thanks for answering my question.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I don't think, I mean, there's not much they can do to you if you don't pay off your so-called debts. I mean, they overcharge for most of these colleges. It was a Ponzi scheme. Most people aren't going to be able to ever pay it back properly, or you're going to be slaves for 20 years doing it. But you'll have bad credit for 7 years. So, I mean, what you going to do? I'd blow it all off.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is Friday, again, the 13th day of July, 2012. I'm Alex Jones, your host. Thank you for joining us. Coming up in the next hour, goal to hit 2,000 by year end on more Fed easing, Merrill Lynch is saying. And see, they've artificially driven gold down, but that's always been the plan, according to all the experts I've talked to who I respect, is that they would drive it down, and then when QE3 came out, which we thought would be earlier this year, now they're saying it's going to be later this year, that it will cause inflation. So we're going to be going over that. Moody's downgrades Italy debt rating 2 notches. J.P. Morgan loses $4.4 billion on trades. Traders may have hidden losses. J.P. Morgan's been caught grabbing other accounts, not just MF Global. Amazing things happening. We'll also get into Condi Rice, who says she supports abortion. And that's who they're saying Mitt Romney, Drudge Report broke this yesterday. It's since been confirmed that she's up at the top of the list. I mean, it's just horrible. So there you go. Might as well just be, how about he just runs as the new VP for Obama? But we're going to be joined here for the rest of the hour by Larry Graffwall. We've played the clip many times over the years. I'm very honored to have him on with us. I think it's best if he describe who he is to you because his bio is so lengthy. But he was at the very top of the Weatherman and was able to, you know, really help send him to prison. And, of course, the Weathermen have admitted what they did, bombing police, you name it, and then Bill Clinton let him out of jail. So just amazing the type of stuff they engaged in. Real terrorists, actually engaging in real terror attacks in America. And they're Obama's mentors. I mean, they paid for his houses, took care of him. It's incredible. But since we saw the new army, document just a few months ago, where they confirmed, yes, that's our real document for re-education camps in America. And now they're getting ready for all this. I mean, we need to understand they could try some type of takeover of America and arrest what they see as the counter-revolution. So we're going to talk to Larry here in a moment and give you his websites as well. But here he is in the 1980s documentary exposing what was going on at the highest levels of the Weathermen. Here's that clip.
I brought up the subject of what's going to happen after we take over the government. We become responsible then for administrating, 250 million people. And there was no answers. No one had given any thought to economics. How are you going to clothe and feed these people? The only thing that I could get was that they expected that the Cubans and the North Vietnamese and the Chinese and the Russians would all want to occupy different portions of the United States. They also believed that their immediate responsibility would be to protect against what they called the counter-revolution. And they felt that this counter-revolution could best be guarded against by creating and establishing re-education centers in the Southwest, where we would take all the people who needed to be re-educated into the new way of thinking and teach them how things were going to be. I ask, well, what is going to happen to those people that we can't re-educate, that are die-hard capitalists? And the reply was that they'd have to be eliminated. And when I pursued this further, they estimated that they would have to eliminate 25 million people in these re-education centers. And when I say eliminate, I mean kill. 25 million people. I want you to imagine sitting in a room with 25 people, most of which have graduate degrees from Columbia and other well-known educational centers, and hear them figuring out the logistics for the elimination of 25 million people. And they were dead serious.
That's from 1982, documentary No Place to Hide. The whole thing's online. If you want to see it, just type in No Place to Hide. Larry Grathwald. His bio is so lengthy and all the things he's done are so interesting. I'm not going to have time to go over it all, but Larry101st.blogspot.com, or just type in, you know, we'll just put a link up in the guest area today. Well, you asked them to actually put a link up at Infowars.com on his name to his website. Because, you know, we do that sometimes for guests, especially if the website's long, instead of just mentioning it on air. We're going to add a link to his site where he has a lot of documentation there. And again, he helped put the weathermen behind bars, and the weathermen are quite proud of what they did. He was a Vietnam veteran, 1st Infantry Brigade in Vietnam, 101st Airborne Division. And we'll just start there. Larry, I want to, you know, obviously look through the lens of what you witnessed inside the Chicago Communist Mafia back then versus who's in control today, because more and more what you've written and said, I look at what they're doing and it looks like they're trying to do it. And it's, if they think they're going to get away with it, they're crazy. But briefly, tell us about yourself and what you experienced. Take us back to infiltrating the weathermen at the highest levels, what you saw, and then bring us forward to today, what we're facing.
Well, that would be a long story, but essentially, I had been discharged from the Army in 1968, and I was attending the University of Cincinnati when I was approached by members of what was then called the Weathermen, and they wanted me to go to Chicago with them to for the attack on Chicago. It was called the Days of Rage. That was held on October 8th through the 11th of 1969. My first reaction was to think that these people were crazy. As a matter of fact, I even made a comment that, you know, why go to Chicago to get the pigs? You can stay right here and get as many as you want. But they gave me a literature, and I took it home and read it, and ultimately wound up going to the Cincinnati Police Department to tell them about what, you know, I had encountered. And they asked me to go to some meetings, which I did. And what I found very astounding was that these people were extremely well organized. They were organizing people into what they called affinity groups, of four or five people that would work together on the streets of Chicago. The sole purpose, as they overemphasized, was to attack the police in the establishment and property whenever the possibility existed. And while I didn't go to Chicago for this national action, the weathermen themselves did everything that they said they were going to do. When they returned to Cincinnati, they got back in touch with me and asked me to start attending meetings again. And at that time, I went to the FBI. I had come to the conclusion that the Cincinnati police were not in a position to deal with this organization because of its national roots rather than it being local and confined to just Cincinnati. The FBI, of course, was somewhat astounded by the fact that I walked in off the street, and interestingly enough, they had my military file there on the desk when they interviewed me. And I think they were, you know, kind of taken back that someone would volunteer to do this. Surprisingly, the weathermen had attended meetings in Cuba in the summer of 1969, the early summer, during which the Cubans and the North Vietnamese had criticized them for what they referred to as white skin privilege. And they chided the weathermen that they were an intellectual group versus the true revolutionary group, and that they needed to start recruiting people from the working class, the military, Vietnam veterans, and people who were streetwise. And here I am. I'm all of those things. And so, you know, it happened at a very opportune time as far as my being able to infiltrate the group. Ultimately, when the group went underground in December of, the decision to go underground was made in December of 1969. The group actually went underground in January of 70. And I was the only informant left after they had purged the group. What they did was kick anybody out that they didn't think was capable of going underground with them. Their belief being that you had to be fervently dedicated to the revolution and mentally and emotionally capable of committing these acts of strategic sabotage. It was planned that we were going to place bombs and kill people, assassinate people, kidnap people, amongst other things, to essentially serve the North Vietnamese and other national liberation fights in the world, and ultimately to bring the U.S. government down, to destroy U.S. imperialism.
But what were the communists thinking? I mean, if that really would have happened, and some of it did, it would only unify people against communists. But I mean, it's such a sophisticated question. But I guess nowadays we're losing all our liberties because of so-called terrorist threats. It's just ridiculous.
Well, actually, I think that after the group went underground and began their strategic sabotage, they began to realize, especially with the end of the war in Vietnam, that this support group, the youth movement, as they called it, dissipated. It no longer had a key issue to be organized around. And I think that when they surfaced during the 80s, they decided to approach this on a more political level, and I think that's where we find people like Barack Obama.
Yeah, stay there. I want to come back and get into their plans to kill 25 million Americans and the fact that they basically run the country today.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Graffwald is our guest, and you just heard the clip earlier, or if you just tuned in, inside the highest levels of the Weatherman meetings, many people that are, you know, advisors of the president, friends of his, all over the government, their children in the government, openly saying re-education camps. So accelerating this, you're one of the only people to able to infiltrate the highest levels as they go underground. Bring us to the point and maybe remind people of some of the terror attacks they launched and what they were planning to do once they got control. Sounds just like Russia or China, where they just shut everything off and watch, in the case of China, 60-something million starve to death. I mean, they're just a bunch of demons. Please continue.
Well, that was was it a meeting that took place in Cleveland, Ohio, during the our preparation for going underground? So actually, this conversation concerning the 25 million people being eliminated was prior to the group beginning its strategic sabotage. What happened was we were actually planning how we were going to go about doing this, who we were going to keep and who we were going to purge. And during one of these meetings, I asked, well, you know, what are we going to do when we take over? You know, we obviously believe that we're going to succeed, and then we're going to be in charge. We're going to have to do something. And people sat there and looked at me like I had three heads. I guess it had never really been considered. But then the conversation focused on the first priority would be to protect ourselves against the counter-revolution, the belief being that there would be an upwelling of American patriot that would try to reverse the our success in the revolution, and that we would have to protect ourselves and the new socialism against that event. So it was decided that approximately 100 million people would have to be re-educated, some of them being placed in re-education camps that would be built in the Southwest, and that of this approximately 100 million people, approximately a quarter or 25 million would not be re-educated and therefore would have to be eliminated. Now, the means of eliminating these people, of course, was to kill them. And in some instances, they would simply be starved to death. In other instances, such as people like myself who had worked against the revolution, would be immediately shot or executed in some way. Of course, that would include people like Nixon and others who were too conservative to even waste the time trying to re-educate them. The amazing thing was to consider that of these people that were attending this meeting, Bill Ayers, Mark Redd, Linda Evans, Kathy Wilkerson, these are all well-educated people. They come from upper-middle-class or upper-class backgrounds, and in most cases had attended some of the most prestigious universities in the country.
Yeah, they weren't just shooting their mouths off. Everything they talked about, they were trying to carry out. I mean, they bombed police officers. They killed. Oh, yes. They killed people.
Oh yes. The interesting story is after we went underground, I was assigned to Detroit, Michigan, and in Detroit, Bill Ayers had created a cell, a very large cell. It contained about seven or eight people, and he told us that we should put bombs at the 13th Precinct, the police precinct, and the Detroit Police Officers Association building, that we should time these bombings to go off simultaneously and to place the bombs at a time when it would kill the greatest number of people. There was a Red Barn restaurant next door to the DPOA building, and I pointed out that that would probably sustain the most damage. And since this restaurant was in a black neighborhood, that it would obviously wind up killing a lot of blacks. And his response was that sometimes in a revolution, innocent people have to die. I find that, most disturbing because, Bill claimed to have such loyalty to the black community and to the black liberation movement. I would point out that I was reassigned to Madison, Wisconsin before these bombings actually took place. And
Larry Grathwall, incredible long segment coming up. Let's continue with what they did after that, other mass killings they talked about, what they plan to do once they took over. And then I want to point out Homeland Security today is shifting from Al-Qaeda to domestic groups, and it's arranging itself to go after us, the counter-revolution. Because they were trying to recruit him, and then volunteered because they were such dangerous people to infiltrate them, and he witnessed some incredible things. Larry, continuing with some of the crimes they committed, and then what is it like for you to see Clinton let them out of prison, and then Obama parading around with them? And then meanwhile, I'm sure you've seen all the Homeland Security reports that have come out where they're now saying gun owners, libertarians, returning veterans, people that don't like a global government or socialist health care or a new world order. We're now the terrorist. As they announce this new world order, they're teaching the police, as the police are the ones that send it to us, that literally the founding fathers are bad. The exact type of stuff you'd imagine to have Mao Zedong teaching or something. Please continue.
Yes, well, let me finish about Detroit. I was reassigned to Madison, Wisconsin, and I didn't actually participate in those bombings. But Bill Ayers debriefed us extensively, and when I left Detroit, I told the FBI that I believed that those bombings would take place within a couple of days of the original target date. Ironically, they had a surveillance on those locations, but they didn't see the bombs placed. And they found 13 sticks of dynamite at the DPOA building and 34 sticks of dynamite at the 13th Precinct. The bomb at the 13th Precinct was set to go off during a shift change, and it was placed on a window ledge. The bomb itself consisted of dynamite and fence staples and roofing nails to act as shrapnel, in other words, to kill and wound. Now, what's important about this is that that bomb that was left in those two locations in Detroit is an exact duplicate of the bomb that was placed at the Park Police Station in San Francisco in February of 1970 that resulted in the death of Sergeant Brian McDonald. The bomb was placed on a window ledge. It consisted of roofing nails and fence staples. So it was basically the same design. Now, the Park Police Station the Pine Street Bomb Factory that the FBI discovered, Max Knoll and some FBI agents found it, and its fingerprints that were found at that location included Bill Ayers and several others. And Bill Ayers, during a criticism session, told me that Bernadine Dorn had placed that bomb at the Park Police Station, and later this was confirmed by one of the members of the Weather Underground who turned. Her name was Karen Latimer, and she said that she had driven Bernadine to the Park Police Station the night of the bombing. And the reason I make that point, again, is because of the similarity of the bombs used in Detroit and then the one at the Park Police Station. And the importance of this is that these are three bombings, two attempts, and one that actually occurred of many bombings that the weathermen were involved in during the 70s and the 80s. So these people were serious, and their point of strategic sabotage and their goal of overthrowing the government. And they seriously believed that they were going to succeed in destroying the United States and what they called U.S. imperialism. Now, as far as the connections that exist today, it's amazing when you think about it that the president of the United States has been friends, good friends, with Bernadine Dorn and Bill Ayers. And his response when he's been confronted with this fact is that, he was only 8 years old when these events were occurring. Well, that doesn't take anything away from the fact that he's still friends with ex-domestic terrorists who have shown absolutely no repentance for what they did. As a matter of fact, Bill Ayers has stated that his only regret is that they didn't do enough. There's a picture of him standing on the American flag making a comment, guilty as hell, free as a bird, isn't America a wonderful country? Now, that's throwing it in our face, so to speak. And you're right, Bill Clinton has pardoned some of these people. Others, such as Kathy Bodine, has been paroled. Now, Kathy Bodine and her husband, Dave Gilbert, were involved in a Brinks robbery in New Jersey in the 80s, that resulted in the death of a Brinks guard and two New Jersey state troopers. This was a combination of the Weathermen and the Black Liberation Army. Now, Dave Gilbert's still in prison, but Kathy Bodine has been paroled, and their son, Chessa, was adopted and raised by Bernadine Dorn and Bill Ayers. Do you notice how these loops keep coming back?
Well, what about Frank Marshall Davis? Over and over again in his book, Obama talks about how he'd go visit him when he was a little kid. This is another communist agent on record. I mean, it's just, it's bizarro, and now he's the president. And how does Fast and Furious tie into this? I mean, shipping guns to Mexico to blame the Second Amendment.
Well, that was the sole purpose, was to blame the Second Amendment. They have been, they, meaning the liberals and the socialists, the so-called progressive, has been after the Second Amendment as long as I've been alive and possibly before that. Remember, you know, an unarmed populace is totally it's submissive to the will of the government.
Yeah, it's real simple. These people crave murdering and power and sit around licking their lips talking about killing 25 million of us, and they hate it that they can't get our guns.
Absolutely. They want us unarmed so we can't defend ourselves. And don't let anyone fool you about the Second Amendment. That was put into the Bill of Rights because of the fact that this country had just fought a revolution against the most powerful country in the world, and the founding fathers wanted to make sure that we had the ability to control the government rather than it controlling us. It has nothing to do with militia or fighting Indians or hunting, as the progressives like to tell us over and over again. And this Frank Marshall Davis, by the way, is the mentor of Barack Obama. In his book, Dreams of My Father, he refers to Frank. He doesn't say Frank Marshall Davis because Frank Marshall Davis was a registered communist, a member of the Communist Party USA, and was well known by the FBI and other government agencies. It was Trevor Loudon who figured out the connection between Frank Marshall Davis and Barack Obama.
He was also a pornographer, and that's all covered in the film that we carry, Dreams of My Real Father, at InfoWarsShop.com. Yeah. Now, I want to stop right there because you've got a lot of knowledge that you've accrued since then. You've spoken at the National Press Club and I've also tried to warn police and others about what's happening. But what is it, because studying guerrilla warfare that the communists love so much and all write tomes to, whether it's Lenin or Mao or right through to Saul Alinsky, I mean, they're all obsessed with it. When you look at how the government operates now under their control, it every time we resist, they pull back. When we stand down, they rush forward. And I mean, more and more, when I study how they operate, they really are following a classic communist takeover strategy. Even though they're in control of a lot of the government now, they're not in control of the individuals. So they have to put out these cover stories to try to get police and military and intelligence folks to follow their directives. But I don't think it's working. I think the big awakening is happening right now because these guys are at a disconnect. But I mean, what's your, I don't know if you've seen it, but 2 months ago we got it. The Army said, yes, that's ours. It's not classified, but it's restricted. You shouldn't have it. It's up on InfoWars.com that there is now a re-education camp plan. And they talk, they don't say who they're going to put. They just say re-educate political dissidents in them. And I'm sure you've seen they're getting the military ready for civil unrest. But a lot of that will be to unrest they themselves generate. So it's a sophisticated plan. What is their helter-skelter, Charlie Manson-style plan, or is that inaccurate? I mean, what are they planning to do now from deeply knowing them that they're in control? What should we be looking for is what I'm saying.
Well, it's a difficult question to answer, but I can agree with you 100% and possibly go further by noting the fact that Homeland Security, by the name of Nancy Politano, has stated that the greatest threat to U.S. security is veterans. In other words, the domestic threat today is not Al Qaeda or you know some other Islamic radicals, but it's rather the veterans, you know, who have fought our wars for us. And I, you know, frankly, I know of very few veterans who have determined that their goal in life is to overthrow the government.
Unless that's a false globalist communist takeover government, and the criminals that have hijacked things know their only enemy is armed Americans that understand a takeover's happened. As they told you, they've got to go after the counter-revolution. That's going to be George Washington, mom and apple pie loving veterans.
That's what's happening right now. The you know, the attack is on, you know, the veterans and other patriots who are standing up and fighting against them. You know, the focus on Rush Limbaugh, and I don't always agree with Rush, but you know, look at
well,
how
he's the biggest. If they can shoot him down and say that he's a terrorist and all this, they can get everybody.
Sure, and he's in the bullseye, and that's what they're trying to do. And remember that the average American is too busy working and paying bills to be focused on politics the way these people are. These people eat, breathe, and sleep politics. And Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn are a perfect example. And most recently, Bill has made a comment that a new order is coming. Now, why is he saying that? Remember, this is a guy who praised the assassinations of John F. Kennedy and Robert F. Kennedy because of his belief that the liberals co-opted the revolution. In other words, when issues became clear, they came up with a solution and there was no longer anything for people to fight against. So I sat in a room and listened to him, you know, explain why these assassinations were a good thing. And now he's an avid supporter of the most liberal president that we've ever had, Barack Obama. Why is that? Is it possible that there's another agenda?
Well, here's something I've been told by a lot of high-up sources that are very credible. They say these people aren't above killing Obama so that they could cause some type of race war in the U.S. Have you ever gotten that information?
I've heard that, and you know, it's a interesting proposition. It certainly is not something that I would put beyond them, but at the same time, I wonder if they're not looking at him as somebody who is doing their bidding. If you look at, like, Fast and Furious, the programs that have come into existence under his administration, our rights are being attacked, and they're being attacked by the government, the very government that's supposed to support them. They have no love of the Constitution or the Bill of Rights, and Obama has made that very clear. And as far as lying to us is concerned, he, you know, the health care, you know, Obamacare was not a tax, right? Well, guess what? When they went to the Supreme Court, they argued that it was a tax, and the Supreme Court upheld it.
And now they're going to give illegal aliens the free health care. I saw, and they were bragging in the news the other day that, see, this is the promised wealth transfer.
Sure.
But all it's going to do is bankrupt the country, which is what they want. They want to bankrupt the country.
I can't remember it. Cliven Pevin or Klein Pevin, which is to put as much stress on the government as you possibly can and force its collapse. Look what's happening as far as local governments and state governments are concerned in regards to the pensions and things that they've promised to government workers, which they no longer are able to fund, and at the same time fund the current police force or fire department. And
it's designed to make the public become exhausted as well, just standard communist takeover doctrine. How do you square it with their funding, though, the big mega foundations and globalist kind of crony interest? I mean, certainly there's that connection. It's covered in the film None Dare Call It a Conspiracy.
Yes.
Or the book None Dare Call It a Conspiracy. I thought about trying to make a film about this, so I had a Freudian slip there. But the point is that you also have these ultra-rich who want monopolies, who are anti-middle class, always funding communists. Any comments on that?
Well, Soros is a good example, and, you know, he's made billions off of this very thing, and you have to wonder, how does he square this up with, you know, versus capitalism versus socialism? I guess he supposes that that his support of this revolution is going to put him in good stead with people like Bill Ayers and Barack Obama when they ultimately succeed. You know, there's no other way to explain it. I've said for years that it amazes me that millionaires support this, because at the end of the revolution, when the weathermen or groups like them take over, these are some of the first people that are going to be put against the wall and shot. And yet they, you know, they blindly continue to follow the leader.
Well, the truth is they never let the revolution fully come into place, and they put oligarchs in charge who then are in control of it. So it's just organized crime masquerading as communist. I mean, I know you were around these people when they were young and they really believed it. But, I mean, so much of it is they just have an appetite to kill people and have power, and they hate the middle class and they hate freedom. I want to come back and get your take on that. I mean, crystallize for us, who are these people? Because if they love Obama and help put him through school and he's their darling, you know, who is Obama? What makes this filth tick?
Some highway east of Omaha. You listen to the engines moaning out his one old song. You think about the woman or the girl you knew the night before.
Larry Rathwald, who helped infiltrate the weathermen and also helped basically testify against them, that's a whole other story, is our guest. I am going to keep him 20 minutes in the next hour. He's agreed to stay with us and open the phones up for your questions specifically for Larry Rathwald on the weathermen who go on television and stand on American flags. And look, America's been taken over by corrupt interest and does a lot of bad things. But when they say that they want to stand on the American flag, they mean private property, the family, Bill of Rights, Constitution. These are really nasty people. And Larry Rathwald was around them in their top meetings. He can tell us what type of people they really are here in a moment. But if you want to understand how the ultra-rich fund communists, None Dare Call a Conspiracy, the book that woke me up by Gary Allen, available at Infowars.com. Discounted and with a free citizen rulebook. And Dreams from My Real Father by director Joel Gilbert. Getting into Frank Marshall Davis and the real Providence, where Obama really came from. All at Infowarshop.com or 888-253-3139. And our guest website is Larry101st.blogspot.com. We have a link up in the guest area to his site at Infowars.com. But you have monopoly mafia rich people who want to work with communism because they can get the underclass going along with the consolidation of wealth, but you never get the chicken in every pot. That's my take on it. Larry, what makes these people tick? I mean, were they true believers when you were around them?
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, at least as far as what they paid lip service to, I often question their individual motive, and you know, from a psychological perspective. And by the way, I have a degree in psychology, so I'm somewhat qualified to do that. I didn't at the time, but the fact is that a lot of them are motivated for different reasons. I think Bill Ayers is an example. Is one of those people who lusts after power. He loved being in charge. He loved to be able to come into a room and have people become silent, waiting to listen to him and wait for his instructions, and to be able to order people to commit certain things such as the bombings in Detroit. So, you know, each one of them, I'm sure, had, you know, their own individual motivation. But I think Ayers, more than others, was certainly motivated by a lust or a desire for power. And I think you see that in all of his life. He became a doctor of education. He was a professor at the University of Illinois. You know, his father was the president and CEO of Con Edison in the state of Illinois. So he's been, you know, come from a very wealthy family. And as a matter of fact, it's a mailman who used to deliver mail to Thomas Ayers, that's Bill's father, claimed that he met Barack Obama while he was a student, and that he recognized him and you know, later in years, and that...
yeah, he said, I'm going to be the president.
Yeah, he told him he was going to be the president. And isn't that interesting that that connection exists to the Ayers family? And, you know, Bill Ayers and...
I'll tell you what, stay there. Back in 1 minute, and we're going to go to calls. Stay there.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, on the line, psychologist, Vietnam veteran, 101st Airborne Division, Vietnam. Going to college after he got back from Vietnam, approached by communists who were trying to recruit disgruntled military personnel. Hey, let's kill cops. Let's blow stuff up. Infiltrated them. Helped put them in prison. He joins us now. We got loaded phones wanting to talk to Larry, who's on the line with us. His website is larry101stblogspot.com. I'm Alex Jones. My website's infowars.com. The next segment, we're going to tell you about a conference he's got coming up in D.C., Larry Grafwall, again, is our guest. Larry, you were finishing a point before we go to calls about the Ayers family and Obama.
Well, I wanted to make the comment that Bill Ayers and Barack Obama were attending the University of Columbia at the same time, which, you know, combined with the fact that this mailman knows of a connection between Barack and the Ayers family while he was an undergrad, tells me that, you know, Bill and Barack have known each other for a lot longer than what either one has been willing to admit. And as a matter of fact, Bill Ayers has acknowledged the fact that he wrote Dreams of My Father as a ghostwriter. So,
I mean, these guys are basically family.
Oh, yes.
Because they're very proud of the son of Frank Marshall Davis. What do you think of that theory?
Well, you know, if you look at the pictures side by side, it makes a lot of sense. Barack looks more like Frank Marshall Davis than he does a Barack Obama.
And he says there was his grandfather would take him over there every week, and that there was this weird unspoken thing between his grandfather and Frank Marshall Davis. I mean, what are you doing taking your kid over to some weird communist pornographer's house every week?
Well, keep in mind, too, that grandfather had worked for the CIA. And when his daughter became pregnant, it makes sense that he wouldn't have wanted a family connection to Frank Marshall Davis, who was a known and avowed communist. So, you know, making this arrangement for Barack Obama Sr. to be named as the father, it suddenly makes sense. And also the fact that it's alleged that on the birth certificate it says father unknown, which would also make sense, wouldn't it? You know, I highly recommend that video. And as a matter of fact, Joel has given me some of those, and I've been sending them out to people. that aren't aware of it. I think it's...
It's not hype that people should get the video, Dreams of My Real Father, that we have discounted at InfoWarsShop.com, because, I mean, when I first was told 2-3 months ago by Jerome Corsi, it's not even officially out yet, folks, but they gave it to us first. Very nice to do that, so we're selling it now. It's not even out to the 24th. When I first heard this from Corsi, because Corsi's like, oh my gosh, the whole thing, the reason they put out that he was born there, the reason his wife said he was born there, the reason that for 16 and a half years they said in his PR releases he was from Kenya, and then we couldn't, you know, and then we're like, hey, you said you were born in Kenya. That was all the cover stories. He's really Frank Marshall Davis's son. I'm like, yeah, let me see the film. But I saw the film, and it is chillingly convincing, in my view.
That's my opinion, too. Especially when you see the photographs side by side. I mean, it's pretty obvious that that there's more likelihood of a relationship between Frank Marshall Davis and Obama than there is Barack Obama.
Well, there's the voice, there's the same freckles. I mean, yeah. You can tell when somebody's daddy.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And then there's the fact that he talks about him for thousands of words in his book.
Yes.
And then there's the mother posing for the photos, and it's the same couch. Very convincing. I tell you, folks, the film's available right now, InfoWarsShop.com. You also support us and the filmmaker when you get it. Get a free citizen rule book with it. We're going to come right back, go to phone calls, and a final segment with our guest.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Through phone calls with our guest, Larry Graffwald. If you just joined us, he infiltrated the Weathermen, helped send him to prison. They now basically run the White House for all intents and purposes. And I want to go to your phone calls, but what are some ways that they could try to take over? Because as far as I see, Mitt Romney is not opposing him. And they're out saying Mitt Romney's a felon and needs to be arrested. And Mitt Romney's rolling around the ground saying, please don't be mean to me. He won't even go after him on Fast and Furious. He wants, you know, Condi Rice, Miss Abortion in there. I mean, I don't see any opposition to Obama. And right now, it looks like, I guess, they may just put Obama back in. What should we, because I had Joseph Farah on last week of World Net Daily. He's back on next week. And it made some national news when he said, if Obama gets back in, we're going to be hunted down like dogs. And Farah wouldn't just say that if he didn't think that. He's getting audited and had a drone over his rural house. I get threats and stuff. I don't want to give attention to it because I don't care. It lets me know I'm doing the right thing. But Larry, you've been around these people. Could they stage a false flag event and blame it on domestic groups like Oklahoma City, on patriot groups? We know they did the last one. OKC, from all the witnesses I've talked to. What type of tricks do you think they could do or get us into a war? I mean, is Obama more dangerous before the election or after the election? Will they go quietly? Will they? Because, I mean, this is a bold group that's willing to blow up police stations, and they're in control now. So what can we expect them to try to do?
Well, I think, you also have to consider the fact that Barack Obama has compared himself to the greatest presidents in our history, including Abraham Lincoln. So this guy's image of himself and his ego is quite large. And I suspect that if by chance Mitt Romney does manage to win the election, that there's a real possibility that our president will come up with some kind of emergency that requires the declaration of martial law and the negation of the election results. And I realize that may sound absurd to some people, but you've got to measure his associations and his ego with what the possibilities are. And I don't think that they're willing to give up the power that they have willingly.
Wow.
I also believe that you could be right. At any kind of events that justify martial law again will allow these camps that have been built in these prisons to come into use. I mean, I saw a program on TV not long ago that was showing a prison that had been built, I believe it was in Nebraska, that was totally empty. This was a prison built by the federal government, state of the art. and nothing's there. The community's kind of disappointed because they expected a boost to the economy.
Oh, yeah, we've got one up here in Taylor with nobody in it. And see, that's what's incredible about this is everything they planned back in college with their PhDs, they're now in control. And again, people don't think you're overstating it. Everybody in their gut can feel it. That's why 2, 3, 4, 5 million guns a month are being sold. In surveys, national surveys, they say, why are you buying guns? We don't trust the government. And I want to warn the communists and their banker financiers. You're not going to get away with this. I mean, I want to give people a newsflash. Larry's a combat veteran, a psychologist now. He's analyzing the megalomania of these people. And we were talking during the break, you know, about, my gosh, we may be lined up against the same wall, but obviously we're not just going to sit here and be lined up against a wall.
Absolutely. They may get me, but it's going to be an all-day job, so they better bring a lunch. and I hope that other people feel the same way, and it's time for the so-called silent majority to wake up and start to take our country back. This move towards world government and allowing our country to come under the control of the UN is very real. This Law of the Seas treaty that basically is going to take away our right to govern our own international waters or our coastal waters is just absurd.
Did you see the CNBC where they came out and said we're slaves to world government now and all this?
Yeah. And they believe that they're look at this, that they're going to have this UN meeting about weapons. They call it small arms treaty, and they put Iran in it.
And they admit that they're going to register all the guns under the treaty under UN orders. It's insane.
Well, that's the way to get around our Constitution by saying now we're obliged to do this because of the treaty with the UN.
But Larry, doesn't this feel like a dream that we've got a guy who grew up and hangs out with the weatherman? We've got socialist health care.
No, it's not a dream, Alex. It's a nightmare.
Exactly. I mean, I'm just saying it doesn't feel real. And we're just waiting for the other shoe to drop here.
If you would have asked me this question 20 years ago, I would have laughed. And yet, here he is. Barack Obama is not only friends with Bernadine Dorn and Bill Ayers, who are admitted domestic terrorists, but Jeff Jones is part of, I can't remember which group it is, but he's been an advisor on the economic stimulus.
Sure.
And the Obamacare.
Well, sure. Now they're putting Al-Qaeda in charge as well. In Libya and Syria, and I'm no fan of Assad or Gaddafi, but these groups are five times worse.
Yes, the Muslim Brotherhood is now in charge of Egypt, and we're supposed to think that that's a better thing. And make no mistake, if they can destroy Israel, they will. That just goes without saying. If you give Iran the bomb, Israel is gone. Forget any threat on the United States, which if they get a missile that'll reach our shores, they'll use it on us too.
Well, it's just crazy that I'm told give up all my rights because of Al-Qaeda, and then there they are putting them in charge in countries. I'm going to have to keep you to the bottom of the hour. I want to plug your conference that's coming up, but we've got to go to calls right now. Tell folks about the conference you've got coming up.
Well, it's next Thursday. That's July the 19th at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C. It's sponsored by Cliff Kincaid and America's Survival, and it's essentially titled "The Vetting of Obama: Radical Islam and the Soros Connection." And what we're going to do is hopefully vet Obama, which of course the mainstream media has not even attempted to do. People, Gilbert's going to be there, the person who produced the video that we were talking about, Dreams of My Real Father.
Yeah, everybody needs to go to that and say hi to Cliff Kincaid. I want to get him back on the show, but you know, I go on Japanese, British TV, national US TV, CNBC. I mean, I've been on literally almost everything. And I've been on Russia Today because, you know, I can do it on Skype. They put an article out saying, I think Jones is a dupe of the Kremlin now because he's criticizing all these new wars just because I don't want our country to go bankrupt. But, I mean, Kincaid's a good guy. He cares about the country. But just tell him I said hi because he's so funny. Joel Gilbert, great guy. We're carrying his film. Let's go to some calls quickly here. We'll go to Elaine. Then we'll go to Matt and others. Julio, there in Illinois as well. Elaine, you're on the air with our guest. Go ahead.
I'm honored, truly honored to be with two of my greatest heroes.
Thank you.
This is wonderful. Now I'll ask my question. With all this credible legal evidence against Bill Ayers, Bernadine, et cetera, why aren't they all in the FEMA camps right now? Is it our legal system that infiltrated or intimidated? I'll hang up and get my answer.
Yeah, that's a good question, Larry. When the police get these new manuals saying the founders are bad and returning vets are terrorists and gun owners are evil, I mean, I've talked to police. I think that's finally waking them up.
Yes, I do too. You know, especially the people who believe in the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. The reason that the weathermen were not prosecuted was on a legal technicality. The evidence was thrown out because, according to the court, it was obtained illegally. And as a matter of fact, two FBI agents, Miller and, Lord, I forget his name, Deep Throat. What was his name? Come on.
It doesn't matter. It's on record. Yeah.
Well, anyway, they were prosecuted and convicted. I testified at their trial for the defense. Mark Felt, Ned Miller, two FBI agent supervisors. So, you know, you talk about an irony. The weathermen walked free, and the agents that were protecting our country were prosecuted and convicted. Ronald Reagan pardoned them.
But exactly, again, you can kill police and you don't get in trouble. Again, these communists are backed by powerful people is my point.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And they right now, because we haven't really fought against them, they're succeeding. I think the vast majority of Americans are patriots. And if they wake up to what's happening, I think it'll be.
Yeah, I think Fast and Furious has almost done that. We're going to break in 40 seconds, but Matt in California, what's your question? We'll come back and answer it. Matt, go ahead.
Hey, Alex, Larry. Yeah, wasn't Andrew Breitbart going to be putting out wasn't he going to put out a video with Obama and Bill Ayers together? Isn't that why he was suicided?
No, he said he met with Ayers, which was crazy. Rest in peace, and that he was going to break this big news. He noticed it never really came out. That was clearly. Well, we're going to get Mr. Grafwald's take on that on the other side. One more little segment, a few more calls straight ahead. I'm Alex Jones of InfoWars.com.
This is the end.
This is the end of our interview with Larry Grafwald, but his website's linked up at InfoWars.com. I want to hurry to a few callers here, but just briefly, Breitbart, I mean, when they said within less than 2 hours, natural causes, go back to sleep, he was supposed to release this stuff of Obama at communist meetings the next morning, then they 3 weeks later released some milquetoast thing with a professor. What do you think was happening there?
Well, I think ironically, I talked to Andrew Breitbart the night that he went to dinner, that dinner party with Bernadine Dorn and Bill Ayers. He called me to get information about those two characters. And during that conversation, he told me that he was creating a documentary and that he was going to be getting back in touch with me. I've talked to some people who are associates of Breitbart's, and they assure me that his death was not a murder. He did die of natural causes, but I too am suspicious because after he makes the statement that he's going to release all of this information, he died. What, about a week later or 2 weeks later?
By the way, we just showed a photo. It's Tucker Carlson and the reporter that confronted me at Bilderberg with them at the party. Very interesting, Tucker Carlson. Let's go to a caller here real quick. Eric in Mississippi, thanks for holding. You're on the air with our guest. Go ahead.
Hello. My question is to Mr. Larry would be, being here in Mississippi, I was looking months ago at all the new militia movement, you know, over the last few years. And I was wondering, what are your thoughts on how, one, how infiltrated are these, are all these things? And second, in after the UN gun ban and all, if they go for a rollout in the rural areas, what do you think? What do you think they'll opt for? Just bankrupt and starve out, or?
Yeah, no, I think it's a bankrupt, starve out. That's always the communist model, and that's what they're setting up for. Larry, comments on that?
That's, I agree, and it, you know, there's possibilities that, that individuals and groups will be signaled out, and you know, there'll be some kind of violent confrontation. But for the most part, I think it'll be isolation. And you know, bankrupt them, discredit them, you know, with, and use IRS audits and things like that.
Or stage events and blame it on us. Let's go to Julio in Illinois. You're on the air with our guest, Larry Graffwald. Go ahead.
I think Chicago is primed for a false flag attack. I remember the story came out in September, but with Fast and Furious, there's a little sting out in Indiana where the ATF allowed a gun shop in Indiana to let guns be purchased by gang members, and it was then shifted into Chicago and given to the Chicago gangs. And then the reason I bring
this up
is... Yeah,
that's right. Fast and Furious is arming gangs all over the country.
Yes. And the reason I bring this up is because the sugar daddy, Rahm Emanuel, we all know, former chief of staff of Obama, they're going to set up, obviously, this militarized police state zone in the city. So I wanted to ask your guest his thoughts on maybe Chicago being it, because I think from a psychological and sociological perspective, if they have a false flag in Chicago, it's quote-unquote Barry Satoru, Obama's hometown, happening under
so they can grandstand as saviors there. A good question. What do you think of Emanuel and the Chicago Mafia?
Oh, well, I mean, we all know about Chicago politics, and it's been that way pardon me, for decades. And as far as Chicago being the epicenter, I think it'll depend upon, you know, what events transpire in other locations in the country. They're going to use events to their benefit. What, who was it, Rahm Emanuel?
Don't let a good crisis go to waste.
That's right. That's right.
I want to ask you a question, or to repeat what you said as a psychologist, as a combat veteran, you know, with a lot of life skills, street skills as well, in the minute we have left, Larry. We were talking during the break, and so-called liberals, because so-called conservatives have their problems too, but when you watch MSNBC or you read their books, all they do is talk about how smart they are and how dumb everyone else is.
Yes.
And I mean, are they not on average typecasting them? Egomaniac power trippers, they're not even really liberals.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And the I think the absolute epitome of that was Chris Matthews after the election making that comment about when Barack Obama speaks, he gets a tingle up his leg. And I wonder if he realized how stupid that sounded. But, of course, in his arrogance, he thinks that he's, you know, one of the smartest people in the country.
That's like a mutual admiration society.
Yes, self mutual admiration society. I agree.
Larry, let me say bye to you during the break. We're going to come back with Shooter Jennings' song that he gave to us to use in our Police State 4 film, The Summer of Rage. That's, of course, Waylon Jennings' son. And then we're going to go to more of your calls and a bunch of news straight ahead. Larry, let me say bye to you during the break here.
He aligns himself with the truth, and it's time for you to choose a side. You're listening to Alex Jones.
Chaos is hanging around. I'm tree to the ground. and shudder from the sound. The death machine ain't slowing down. It's gaining pound for pound. A gas mask is the couture in the summer of rage. They're building mass graves within the states. You and I, they'll vaccinate. They're preparing us for an
all to be one-dimensional, like either you're against the police and military or you're for them, or you're either left or you're right. It's about truth. It's about each issue, what's right and wrong. And it's more sophisticated than that. Our police and military are under the control of different bureaucracies, different systems that are special interest and want to grow. But at the heart of all of this, there are people that want to end our society as you know it and bring in a communist collective, which are the most horrible systems the world has ever seen. And, you know, there's the famous case of the New York Times writer who was a communist. I forget his name. The story's famous. He's over in the Ukraine, and the communists have just killed 10 million people, and he's surveying how wonderful it is. And he says to the other American communists, well, they've killed 10 million people in just a year. They're killing millions more. And he goes, well, you got to break a few eggs make an omelet. And he said, yeah, but where's the omelet? Well, let me add to the quote. It's not about omelets or eggs. It's about breaking eggs. These people love running other people's lives. And I was saying bye to Larry Grathwall. And I said, what's up next for you? And he said, well, I'm following Bill Ayers. See, I couldn't go to dinner with Bill Ayers. I physically couldn't be around him. There would be a confrontation. It's just such a cowardly little piece of trash. Sending people out to you know what? If a cop killed somebody in your family and did it wrong, got away with it, and then you got justice one way or another, that's one thing. But to just blow up some police sergeant for no reason because you're going to start the revolution, it's just sick. And I was asking him, because he's a psychologist, about the psychology of these people, and he said he's going to follow them around, but that takes support. And so I'd love to see those YouTube videos. You got to get somebody to go with you with a camera. It'll have a lot bigger effect if you do that, Larry. But people can go to your website and donate so that you can follow Bill Ayers around as he goes and speaks at universities and places and is hailed as a really sexy, cool hero. So tell us briefly about that.
Well, in fact, I have had a couple of occasions to be in the same room with Bill at various universities, and I've stood in line for my opportunity to ask him questions, and he always manages to end the question and answer session and duck out the back door. So he knows who I am, although he claims he doesn't know me. But anyway, I would ask people to donate if they can. My objective is to appear where he appears, and given the opportunity, I intend to confront him with some difficult questions concerning the contradictions that exist in his activities today and what I know he did in the past.
Well, we got a lot of We Are Changers out there who are for real change, who go confront these globalists. Maybe they can email you and hook up with you and help you, because that's what we do. That's what I've pioneered, is going and asking real questions of these people at point-blank range, like Janet Reno and countless others for what they did at Waco, where they were trying to kick off a government attack, you know, picking a group they thought would be unpopular. Briefly, what's your view on Waco?
Waco, I think the government overreacted. I'm not sure that I agreed with David Karish, was his name.
No, of course. I mean, that's what I'm saying. They picked a group that they knew was unpopular to roll out their Southern Poverty Law Center attack on, you know, groups that were anti-government. It was an attempt to open up, not like a war on drugs, but like a war on patriots. So, yes, they picked, a group that they could demonize.
And the process wound up killing a good number of people. The tactical application of what they did had certain predictability, in my opinion, and that was that the Branch Davidians were going to resist, and that there was a very good likelihood that a lot of them were going to die. How long would have it taken to sit there and wait for them people to eventually come out peacefully?
Well, Koresh went into town every day. They had multiple businesses. He jogged off the property every morning.
Yes, I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. It wasn't necessary.
Well, we got the ATF documents where they were about to get their agency cut or their funding cut, and so they wanted a big PR stunt.
And that's what you're talking about when you say that there's vested interest. There's certain organizations, including law enforcement, that are so intent upon making a name for themselves that they forget what their real purpose is. And, you know, they ride around in cars that say to protect and serve. Well, what about protection? That has to be the focus, and burning that place down, or the activities that resulted in the place burning down, were predictable. And why didn't the FBI and the government agencies just sit there and wait? That would have been the smart thing to do.
But they wanted to start a war against the cults, which they were going to segue into conservatives returning veterans. I mean, that was the plan, and it failed. And that's what really started the current big liberty movement, was Waco. Oklahoma City was the White House answer to that. Now that's out in the open that was a staged event. Larry, thank you so much for the time. Look forward to having you back.
Thank you for having me, and I'm willing to come back anytime. You have a good day, and thanks again.
Thank you. Say hi to Kincaid for me.
I will.
All right, there he goes, ladies and gentlemen. I meant to go an hour with that gentleman, but that was a riveting interview. What a real guy right there. And saved a lot of lives helping bring down those scum, even if Bill Clinton let him out of prison. But it's just amazing that I've had cops literally more than 50 times and FBI and informants. I'll be signing DVDs at a film showing, and they walk over and go, "Hey, you want to blow up some buildings?" And you look at them, and it's like an informant or a cop. You just go, "Man, come on, you idiot." And, you know, the next step of that is framing us. And that's what's so frustrating. I'm the last person that wants a shooting war with the government. But if the government is communist, globalist run and tries to take this country over, there's no alternative but to resist it. And that's why I want to warn the police and military now. They plan on destroying you in this civil war, and us in the process, because they see us as the same people. They hate you because they know deep down you love freedom in America. None of us are perfect, but they know you're not a globalist control freak criminal like them, and you're their enemy. That's why they want us to kill each other. Think like they do. Think more sophisticated. Understand what's happening here. Do you understand how close we are to not being on the radio, martial law, and going to the next phase? And I'll say right here on air, I don't plan to be like Travis at the Alamo, you know, out there in some assault. But, you know, Travis was where he was at, and they came to him. You know, this stuff all collapses, folks. I'm not going to be out there like Rambo trying to lead people around in some type of, you know, fight. I'm fighting in the info war right now. And I'm just praying that we can turn this thing around. But if the military and police, with the PR and peer pressure, go with the Roundup plans and try to go out and arrest people and try to take us to FEMA camps for re-education for a lot of us to get raped, tortured, and killed, you're going to be resisted. So you get what you deserve. Remember that. Think about what I'm saying here. If you join these people through willful ignorance or peer pressure or saying, oh, well, you know, it couldn't be true. And, oh, yeah, the right-wingers or libertarians are really blowing stuff up, so we got to arrest them. When it's the criminals that took over the government that are doing it. If you go along with them at that point, you have absolutely sold yourself, your family, your country down the tubes. And by the way, you're probably going to get killed too. Because once you start attacking veterans and conservatives, libertarians, who are professional, controlled, focused people, once you draw first blood and start something, it's going to be open season, and I would not want to be you. And that's why police say, oh, we're not going to confiscate guns. No, sir. A, because you know it's the Second Amendment. You know it's tyranny if they do it. But deep down, B, you know it's a death warrant. You might as well go jump off a cliff without a parachute if you try that. Well, but here's what's going to happen. They've degenerated the inner city neighborhoods. They have brought in the drugs. They have broken down the culture with the MTV and all the rest of it. They're doing it to everybody, but particularly black folks. And I've seen gun confiscation start in the black neighborhoods of New Orleans and move on to the next place. So they'll say, oh, there's gangbang and everything's falling apart. People will be begging you in to take the guns. That will set the precedent. So don't tell me you'll never confiscate guns. If they get you in peer pressure and they frame it the right way and there's looting going on, that'll set the precedent, prime the pump. And it'll be like putting, you know, gasoline in an engine that's got water in it. It'll be sputtering and banging. And sure, most areas, the police and military will say no. Turns out a lot of regular army did say no at Katrina. That just never made it on the news. They showed units that would do it on the news to try to acclimate everyone. And the ABC reporter that was part of that report went to Iraq and got his face blown off. Woodward, he's already back on the air. The point is, yeah, that was his bad luck for being part of that. The point is that this is real, ladies and gentlemen. I get up every day and look at my children and think about, man, I have endangered you doing this. My whole family, we are on the front lines. I look at my little innocent children and I think, but then I realize, hey, they have no future if we don't beat these people anyways. And I'll be honest, if there was some free continent with freer people and I could immigrate and be accepted, I would leave right now, even though my family goes back, like many of your families, to the first colonies here, you know, the Mayflower, all of it. And the founding of Texas, and I'm an American 110%, and I love this country, but I'll be honest, we're in such bad straits. If there was a place that wasn't run by these globalists or didn't have its own tyranny, I would be gone right now. Gone. There is nowhere to run. The only place to run is straight at them. The only place to run is straight at them. You understand that? The only place to run is straight at them. Straight at them. I'll give you the football analogy. It's well known. You go 110%, that means harder than you thought you could go. People make fun of 110%. They go, well, they've hypnotized weightlifters and they can bench press 100 pounds extra if they hypnotize them. They can squat 200 pounds more. Oh, you can only squat 600? Here, hypnotize 800 with hypnosis and other things. Can only bench press 400? Now you can bench press 400, 500 in some studies. They've put people on drugs before and hypnotized them, and they bench pressed 200 pounds more than they thought they could. It's the same thing. You go 90%, you're going to get injured. You go 80%, you're going to get injured. You go 50%, you're going to get injured. You've got to go 110%. And then you're going to find out there is a 10% above that and above that and above that. And folks, if you can't even get out, and by the way, today's the last day to go out and hang up Obama posters. I'm going to extend it through Monday because I got behind with a bunch of stuff and I want to be able to judge it. So last day to get them in is Monday. Hang up the Obama posters, the action of being on the street, saying no to the tyranny, getting involved. Do that. And you win $10,000. But, I mean, just the idea of bullhorning for the first time or handing out DVDs for the first time or making your own YouTube video speaking out on something doesn't mean you have all the answers. Doesn't mean you're not going to get attacked. You've got to take those first steps. I know those first steps are the hardest because a lot of people don't respect themselves. Let me tell you something. You are the answer. Okay? You are the people that are going to have to beat this. They could pull their kill switch now. They're getting everybody ready for it in the news. They could shut me off tomorrow. They could nuke a major city, grandstand. You're going to see your neighbors put candles out front their houses and say, I know you said Obama was going to do it, or I've just got to get behind them because of the hype. When that hype comes down, you have got to say no at that point. I want to go back to a subject I mentioned at the start of the show, and I said I'd do a whole talk on this today. Perhaps I should just do it the first hour of the show on Sunday. I was talking about Kingdom of the Robots because there was this article out of CBS News, Navy beginning to implement underwater drones in the Gulf and the Strait of Hormuz. Now, they've always had drones for 30-plus years. They had them in World War II. They had remote-controlled aircraft. The Germans did as well. But the point is, there's air drones, there's sea drones, there's surface drones, there's UGVs. You know, we cover that in our drone shot down over Texas video. Just search that. You'll find it. Pretty amazing video. But the point is, this is the kingdom of the robots. This is where humans are taken out of the equation. And I'll pledge you this. I'll be here Sunday live, 4 to 6 p.m. Central, and I will talk about dehumanization and how we're being taken out of the decision process and being minimized coming up on Sunday's show. And then I'm not going to really be taking off. I'm going to be working some, but I had been planning to go to Colorado for a week and a half to do some investigations and things and also take some at least my son along, because he keeps wanting to go to Colorado so I can work on the road and do both. But then the engine blew up on the old bus we got. So, but I don't want to cancel the guest host we've got next week. So John B. Wells, J.B. Wells is doing Monday, and then Mike Adams is doing Tuesday. But we're going to have a special report one of those hours. I think it'll be Tuesday with Mike Adams, so he'll just do 2 hours. But we need to let Mike know that, because I know he's booking guests right now. So program note there. More news coming up.
Day after day, alone on a hill, the man with the foolish grin is keeping perfectly still. But nobody wants to know him. They can see that he's just a fool, and he never gives an answer.
But the fool on the hill sees the world turning round.
Sees the sun.
We are back live, ladies and gentlemen.
And the eyes in his head.
And I just look at these headlines. DHS emergency power extended, including control of private telecom systems, where they can just hack in and the government can take everything over. If you have a central switch, that could allow enemies, of course the enemies have taken over, to take it over. I mean, just creating one of these switches allows this to happen. Amazing. And how long have we warned you about that? Woman convicted of battery for pat-down of TSA worker. That's up at Infowars.com and PrisonPanda.com. Action was protest against invasive groping, which included her genitals being touched. But again, government gropes you, not the other way around. This is all re-education camp training, literally, where they tell you freeze and all the rest of it. It's your prisoner training. And it's bipartisan, folks. It's not just the communist arm of this of the Democratic Party. And all of you out there that think collectivism and the Democratic Party's cute, folks, you're like Stalinistic dupes. And again, Condi Rice, oh, she's at the top of the list for VP, and she supports abortion. I meant to get to that clip. Guys, do you have the Mitt Romney flip-flopping on abortion? Yeah, we're going to go ahead and play that here, because it just illustrates the fact that this is the guy that when it comes to really taking action, kind of like Justice Roberts, they're going to deliver the globalist takeover because the bankers want the collectivism. Here is that clip.
So when asked, will I preserve and protect a woman's right to choose, I make an unequivocal answer, yes.
No, I'm saying I changed my mind, and you can look at my record as governor, and you can see in my record as governor that I have consistently been pro-life.
I believe that abortion should be safe and legal in this country.
I have since the time that my mom took that position when she ran in 1970 as a U.S. Senate candidate. I believe that since Roe v. Wade has been the law for 20 years, that we should sustain and support it. And I sustain and support that law.
I will be a pro-life president. I'll appoint.
So when I ran for office, I was effectively pro-choice. I didn't call myself pro-choice, but I said I...
Just like I've been a pro-life governor.
I believe, based on what I read, that the world is getting warmer.
That's enough. You know, notice he said he's going to get rid of the health care law, but now he's like, well, the Supreme Court has spoken, and it's not a tax. Let me support Obama. Obama's like, yeah, you're a criminal, needs to be arrested. Now, that's not very sweet. I mean, he's laying down to Obama. I wish Mitt Romney was better than Obama. I never believed in lesser of two evils. I'm so desperate, I'd go for it. It isn't. This is what the elite wants. This is what they get. And we're headlong down the rat hole. And now, Condi Rice. Drudge broke this yesterday. Big international story. Condi Rice is at the top of the bill right now to be Der Fuhrer, to be the VP for Romney. And it is just thoroughly, thoroughly disgusting. And again, I keep getting IMs and comments and seeing this. I get these questions. Under executive order entitled Assignment of National Security Emergency Preparedness Communications Functions, Obama has enabled the executive branch to control communications under all circumstances to ensure national security. That's a quote. Effectively manage emergencies and improve national defense. And then they went on to ask me, Alex, why are you not covering this? Okay, I cover it every day. But the people on YouTube, they didn't see it in that one video, so it must mean I've never talked about it. So I apologize that I've never talked about the kill switches being put in that I've been governing since 1996 that they're now getting ready to go operational with. So I apologize for being right as usual. Because even when I'm right, I'm wrong. You know how it is. It's bad to be right. So I apologize. I apologize, and I guess I'm not conservative because I don't like abortion.